Hi, this is Bruce Gernon, author of The Fog, a never-before-published theory of the Bermuda Triangle phenomenon. And you're listening to the radio show podcast Out There.
Well, Happy New Year to you. And may this year be the year that more comes forward. And whatever that means to you, that's fine. But for me, part of what's meant to be, part of the great change is taking place. So a lot of people look back at 2016 and, you know, we talk about the different stories. Certainly some big wake-up calls with things that are going on in the news, trying to get us to become more compassionate and loving. And I look at those incidents, and now that there's some distance between them, not certainly when they happen, you know, you're shocked a little bit, but when there's some distance between those incidents, just like anything in history, you don't feel the emotional impact as much. And we see that there's a greater wake-up call for all of us. And these people that are part of these incidents, I truly believe some of them maybe, you know, got caught up in a bad place at the wrong time. But there are no accidents. Everything is designed. So whether it was by you drew it into your life or whether you made it part of your choice before you came here, these people all chose to serve and make an ultimate sacrifice of giving up their life to move us forward. So at the very least we can do is remember those people, good or bad, if we want to give them a label, that have given us the opportunity to see things in a more loving way and see people. You know, I think one of the things that gets overlooked is compassion for the individuals that do these things. Not that I'm saying we should be all lovey-dovey, because I get riled up at them too when they do these things. But then I realize also they serve a purpose and they will return to the same place that you and I will return to. And why don't we ever try to find out why they do these things? Nope, they put them in jail, we don't hear from them again, and they're locked away, and who knows? You know, maybe some people try to follow up. We just don't hear about it. But eventually, I believe people that are incarcerated, it has to go from being a place that just punishes you. It also has to become a place that gives you a chance to turn yourself around, reprograms you if you choose to follow that. And we can't continue to turn people out that have been in there filled with hatred and anger and nowhere to go, because it's not going to get better. And maybe there are those that don't want it to get better. Do you ever think of that? It's like maybe they'd be out of business if they didn't have people that were on that path. So I see a day when we will certainly, you have to be held accountable. You have to be. And if you're a danger to society, you need to be removed. With that being said, there will come a day where we will also realize that we have to extend love to even the worst of the worst and give them an opportunity to dig their way out, to reprogram themselves. Am I in favor of the death penalty? No, I'm not. How many innocent people have been fried? Many. Many, many, many. We know corruption that exists where people will stack the deck against someone else in order to get a conviction. Now, that's not the case. I don't believe that very often, but it does happen. I have faith in most of the people I believe are good people that are just doing their job. And then there are those that, like anything, you develop egos and you believe you can get away with things and you come to become too big for your own britches, and then it just continues to grow from there, and people are think they're above the law. So it's all part of the great transformation we're going through. So 2016, certainly want to remember those that chose to wake us up in a very extreme way that got our attention, and I thank them for that. But for me, 2016, what I'm going to remember from the year, the biggest impact on my life was not a celebrity who passed away, although I guess we all feel connected. And I really think celebrities choose to, we all choose our lives. And if you choose to be a celebrity, you choose to have an impact in some way. And it can be for the greater good, or it can be a wake-up. So they also are divine beings on a journey, and so I'm saddened to see them go. Some of them brought a lot of light. But to me, Well, my biggest loss was of 2016, if you just want to focus on loss, was the loss of somebody that I called a mother, a second mother. And I think she considered me her second son. And her name was Susan Berger. And I've known Susan since I was 18 years old. Back in 1978, 79, I moved to Wausau, Wisconsin. I went to broadcasting school, and I stayed with a woman, Susan. I stayed at her house and rented a room. Now, that's pretty amazing that she was willing to let two young, long-haired punks, my friend Lonnie and myself, stay at her house. But we weren't bad guys. But still, she needed the income, so she rented out. I mean, the rooms were dirt cheap, you know, back then. And she had a part of her house where it was kind of, we could go and watch TV in it. I think we also had TVs in her room, but we weren't in our rooms that often. We weren't at her house that often. Anyway, that ended after a year that I went to broadcasting school, and I didn't keep in touch with her too much afterwards till, I think it was in the 90s. Yeah, 1997, somewhere in the 90s. And it was right after my mom passed, and I was going down to my nephew Eric's wedding, and he happened to live close to Wausau. And so I thought, well, let's stop in and see Susan. And so my girlfriend at the time, Sandy, who's now my wife, we stopped in and we had a real nice visit. And we thought, you know what? I'm going to make it a habit of coming down and visiting her a lot more often. And, you know, speaking of celebrities, the first time we fully came down and visited with her, it was the same night that Princess Di passed away. Funny how you can tie that into where you were. And Sandy was in the back seat. We had taken Susan to the bingo hall, and we were on our way back. It was so foggy, I could barely see in front of the car. And she says, oh, I know the way. And we're going down this road, and I can't see. This is the worst fog I've ever seen in my life. I could barely see a foot in front of the car. And she goes, just go slow. We can find the road. And then Sandy chimes up in the back seat and says, did you hear that? I said, what? I'm trying to focus on the road. She said, Princess Di just died. And we just were flabbergasted. We were blown away because we never expected that. She was a young woman. And I guess I'm tying that in because those events happen deliberately to help us remember. And what helps me remember is the first time that we were with Susan. And we had spent the night at her place. And she treated me like, oh, she spoiled us. And on top of that, I did anything I could to help her out. She really meant a lot to me. And it happened, the timing in life, it happened right after I lost my mom in 1997. And shortly after she lost her son, who was a little bit older than me. And so we kind of came together for that reason. And I know it was maybe something that we planned even before, you know. Or maybe we made that plan while we're here, because I think it's one of two things. It's either before you come here or while you're here. Regardless, over the years, we connected with her, and what a divine soul she was. We saw a side of a person, and maybe her family didn't always see that. I don't know. Maybe, you know, you act differently with people that are your guests or people that you have, you know, you put on a nicer face. I thought she was always nice, but maybe she was a little brash. Susan was not afraid to speak her mind, and that's what I loved about her. She was not afraid to completely tell you what she thought. Now, at first, I think she realized that my wife and I are sensitive, so she toned it down a bit. And then she got to the point where she stopped trying to boss us around, and we didn't care. I didn't care how she would have treated me. I just wanted to connect with her, and I loved her childlike spirit, even in her 80s. We would still sit around and have a couple of drinks and laugh it up, and sometimes till the wee hours in the morning. And I just loved that about her. That's what I thought. That's what keeps her young inside, because a lot of people her age were in homes, and she was taking care of them. She would volunteer her time to go do their hair. Women that were younger than her had already been checked into some kind of home. And this just told you she was so spry and upbeat and just strong-willed. Like a lot of people that lived through the Depression, very strong-willed. And then just so full of life. And I thought, God, I like being around people like that. They lift me up. And hopefully I make people feel that way as well. So it was a loss that hit my heart a little bit, but I know she's in a better place, and I know it's part of what's meant to be. And when I talked to her daughter said, you know, she knew it was her time. She was ready to go. It happened so quickly. She had problems with her health, her lungs, and she just couldn't get them to work properly, and she couldn't recover from that. And she, towards the end, said she was ready to go. And, you know, I respect that. Now, you always want to say goodbye to somebody. You always feel the need to have closure. Well, you know, you don't always get that, do you? I just look at, in our history, how many, you know, wars have been fought where people died on the battlefield, blown to bits. Nobody got to have closure there. So sometimes there's no guarantee on that thing. We all want to have a neat little thing, and this is the way it should be. And that's nice, but also let go. Let go of the things that we think we have to have in order to function. Because sometimes you won't have a choice. It's nice if you can have that. But I did have some closure with Susan, thanks to my friend Joy. And I wasn't really even trying to seek that, but I told Joy about it, who's been on my show many times, just was on recently. And right away, she dialed up Susan for me. And Susan had a few things to say, and it was just nice to hear from her. And it were things that only that Susan would say, and some real personal things for me that she gave me some advice on. And I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. But just the way she would say them. So I knew it was her coming through from the other side. And I have no doubts whatsoever when somebody passes that pretty much everybody's going to find their way. Some souls don't. Some souls wind up being ghosts. Some souls stick around. Some souls go to other places, dimensions. It depends on your level of understanding, your consciousness. I think there are many levels we can go to. So whatever you believe down here, whatever you're open to, it could be a place. A lot of people wind up going to the next level, which is the reincarnation level, which is kind of halfway in between, from what I believe. And yes, that's kind of like heaven. And yes, you get to see all your loved ones, but you got to come back again. I have no intention of going there. I've been here enough times, and I don't want to go back. So I know there's levels beyond that. And I think in a way, maybe Jesus was trying to tell us that. In my house, there are many mansions. You don't have to settle on the reincarnation. You can go to the next one beyond that. And you truly can connect with the highest part of Source if that's what you want. That's what I think he was trying to show us. You don't have to go that route. So I really believe she's in a good place, and I'm sure she's around me now. And Susan even said that my mother greeted her when she crossed over, just to thank her for her assistance. So that's pretty cool stuff. And I will miss going down. We'd go down a couple times a year to Wausau, which is about an hour and a half from where I live. And, you know, we'd spend the weekend. We'd get down there on a Friday. We'd leave on a Sunday. A lot of times we'd take her to bingo or wherever she wanted to go. And we just laugh it up and have a good time. And that I will miss, truly miss. And that little spot she had, which I really liked, where she lived in a suburb of Wausau, but it was a kind of a quiet, well, not so much when they put the new highway through there, but it was a nice little neighborhood area. And she had a big yard and just kind of a, like almost a country setting within the city, you know, fairly close to the city. So just something I'm going to hold on to. And I really appreciate the being that went by the name of Susan Berger and all her family and all the people I got to know, too. A lot of amazing people. It's funny how you connect with others and where it leads you. And who knows? You know, it's like all those years ago, going on 40 years ago, when I was staying at her place, and I was just this young, wet-behind-the-ears kid, 18 years old, who, you know, everybody had long hair back then, and I had this long hair. I looked like a girl, for crying out loud, which is fine if that's what you want to do. And she totally accepted me. And, I mean, we just did some comical things. I remember my friend Lonnie, who lived with me, he, when we both graduated from broadcasting school, it was only a one-year school. We thought it would be so cool to go down to Goodwill and buy up some blazers or something like that and some new shirts and stuff like that, because we didn't have anything really nice to wear for the graduation. So, and Susan would often tell this story, and we'd go there, and then you guys came back, and you thought you were looking all spiffy with your Goodwill clothes. And there's nothing wrong with getting your clothes at Goodwill. I think there's a lot of great stuff there. But we thought we were all dressed up. And some of it wasn't bad, you know? Maybe it was a little dated from another time period. But what did we know? We were 18-year-old guys who weren't exactly fashion templates. So there was that. And there was an incident when I was in Wausau. I was leaving Schofield. There's different memories that I have, but this is kind of a paranormal one. And you know, Susan also told me that she would often think that her son Rick was around because she would find coins on the bed after she had already cleaned and made the bed, and there she'd find coins. And that is definitely a sign that her son Rick died at a young age, and it just devastated her. But I had an incident, an angelic incident, I believe, as I was, when I went to school. Our class was from 5 to 10 at night. We had the night class, 5 to 10, and I worked usually 9 till 3, pretty much every day, most days, I believe, Monday through Friday, at a grocery store that was completely on the opposite side of Wausau. So I lived in Schofield, which is kind of south and east of Wausau, and I had to go up to the northwestern side, northeastern side of town, which was several miles, and I would often cut it close. And that's, well, I was 18. And I remember one time, I didn't realize it snowed that much the night before. And here I am cutting it close, and I'm getting out the door, and I'm starting to take off. And the roads are snow-covered, and they're slippery. And I realize I'm in big trouble, because I'm going to be late for work. And I'm coming over the top of a hill, and there's an intersection. And there's a stoplight at the bottom of this hill where the intersection is. And I'm probably about 70 or 80 yards from the stoplight. And there's a car parked at the bottom of the hill, a station wagon. I believe it was a station wagon. And I start to tap my brakes, thinking, oh, okay, well, I can. And I couldn't stop. I was sliding more. And I thought, there's no way in hell I'm going to stop my car. I'm going to smash into the back of this guy's vehicle. And it won't be the end of the world, but it's going to smash pretty good. And then this thought came out of nowhere. And it said, it told me exactly what to do, to speed up. And I thought, what? But I looked over to the right of me in the other lane, and there was a grader grading the road. He was dead even with me. So there's no way I could cut over into that lane. But that's when the thought hit me. Speed up, turn the wheel at the last second. You'll shoot over into the right lane, and you'll get past the grader, and you won't hit the car in front of you. Now, what are the odds of that? That doesn't sound like you could do that if you've got only about 70 or 80 yards to work with. Go faster. Get past the grader. I can't already stop myself. Then cut the wheel, slide over into this other lane, and not shoot through the intersection, and somehow stop miraculously. And that's what I did. It's unbelievable. Well, I know it's believable because that's what happened. I really felt there was divine guidance that day. Something reached in and actually physically controlled my car. I was able to speed up, get past the grader. That was no problem, getting faster. But then when I start hitting the brakes, I'm kind of letting them go so you don't, you know, steer right into something. And I'm watching my car fishtail, you know, and I turn the wheel sharp at the last second. And I'm looking how close I got to that station wagon. And it had to be within inches, that I missed that wagon. I don't know how I did. And then I shot over into the right-hand lane. And I looked to see how close the grader was, and he was way behind me. So he wasn't going to hit me. And then I thought, well, I'm going to shoot through this lane. And I only went out about a foot into that lane, not even far enough to where I really had to back up, where traffic was going to hit me. Now, how does that happen? Well, and I'd say it happens because we have guides, we have angels around us, and when it's not our time, it's not our time. But I wouldn't suggest trying to tempt fate like I did so many times when I was 18 years old, because I just was a dumb guy. I went too fast, and I drove like a maniac sometimes. I just did stupid things. And you wonder how you're still here today. And then there are other people who maybe do one reckless thing, and boom, they have an accident. And I avoided accidents when I probably should have had a lot of them. Here's another incident, too, when I was leaving Wausau, because I used to go back to Norway, where I'm from, on the weekend. And as I recall, I took Highway 17. I would take 51, which runs north, and then 17 was kind of cut across into US 8. And being a young guy like I was, I wanted to get home as soon as I could. Now, this is stupid, really stupid. I was driving about 95 miles an hour on Highway 17 because I figured, well, nobody's on this road. It's a pretty desolate road, but there might have been some people. You never know. And I'm going really, really fast, and it's foggy out. I think it was a little bit foggy, so that is beyond stupid. But again, something stepped in and protected me from what could have been a pretty serious accident, maybe a life-changing one. I caught out of the corner of my eye, while I'm going 90-some miles an hour, I see a deer coming out of the woods, and it's almost like it's all in slow motion. And I think, this deer is going to hit me. I can slam on my brakes, but then I'm going to skid, and I'll go off the road, and I still probably will hit the deer. Or I can speed up, which is what I did again. Something told me to do that. So I sped up. Now, everything has to play out just perfectly in order for this to work, doesn't it? Absolutely. I watched this deer. I kept kind of glancing over while I'm traveling. And this all happened within just a few seconds. Not even that, maybe. And I watched the deer getting closer to my car. But then I realized, okay, he's not going to hit in the front. He's probably going to hit the side of my car. He may even hit my windshield. His face may plant through my windshield. And he might go for a ride. And then I kind of glanced over again. And I noticed he was in my back window. And his face looked like it was pressed up against the back window. That's how close it was. I never heard a thud. There was never an impact. And the next thing I know, he was gone. And I slowed down. And I looked around. No injury, no deer in the road, nothing. It's almost like he was not even real. And yet, somehow, something kept him from running into me, which probably wouldn't have done any damage to me physically if he hit the side of my car, unless his head went through my windshield and smacked me in the driver's side, or went through the side window, the door window. But if I would have hit him head on, that definitely would have caused me to probably swerve, and who knows what could have happened, where I would have gone at 90 miles an hour. Was I even wearing a seatbelt? I don't remember if I was or not. Back then, the laws were a little different. I may not have even been wearing a seatbelt. Funny how that is, isn't it? A couple of things that happened with Susan when I was down there. Things that you don't know. You know that somebody's watching out for you. And there were many times we spent with Susan. We just truly enjoyed her company. And she was always feeding us, taking care of us. That's what she wanted to do. And I don't think we ever really had any... One time we had some issues. She was a little upset with me because I was joking around, and I don't think she liked it. But I think after a while she realized that's just who I am, and I have a good nature. So we really, truly did connect. And as she got older, she still was very sharp, very sharp. So I looked up to her a lot, and I do miss her physical presence, but I know that her spiritual presence is always going to be around. Also, another topic, combining these two in one, because I haven't done a show in a little bit. And this is about two Earths. Have you heard the theory of two Earths? That we're going to be, and I've heard this a long time ago, right around 2012 actually, that there were those that were saying we're going to live on two different Earths. And some of us will live in the new Earth, and some of us will live in the old Earth. And what does that mean? And is that possible? We all know, or many of us know, that things are rapidly changing. We're moving towards higher vibration. The planet itself, if you listen to some of the shows I've channeled, talks about changing its vibration, and we can go with it, and it doesn't have to be an uncomfortable ride. Some have proposed a theory that there's actually going to be two physical existences of Earth. Earth is going to ascend to the fifth dimension and become a higher vibration place, a place filled with more love. It's doing this because it no longer wants to be a place that has a lot of negativity. It allowed itself to be that, and now it's saying, okay, I'm going to move in this direction, and you're invited to come with me. I want you to, but you don't have to. It's always a choice. So there are those that believe this great change that's been coming around since 2012. Some will say things are going to, you know, slowly get better, and everybody's going to experience that. And then there are those who have the belief that there are going to be two Earths, and those with the lower vibration will be left behind, and those with the higher vibration, filled with love, will move on to the new Earth. And some people might even say that's kind of what the rapture was talking about, how people would just leave and they wouldn't be here anymore because they raised their vibration high enough to go to that next level. And that makes a lot of sense to me, that that could actually happen. Will it happen? I don't believe it will, but I could be wrong. Who's to say that we live in such a... We don't even understand how we live as physical beings, the multi-dimensions and layers that exist. We only beginning to tap into that and understand that there's so much more. And how many different versions of me exist out there? And also, the part that always blows my mind is that the past, present, and future are all happening right now. They're all playing out right now. There is no past, present. It's just, it's on a string timeline. That's all. And it's all happening right now. And also, everything that goes on in all these multi-dimensions where there could be hundreds of me and you, they're affected by everything that goes on in all the other ones. So sometimes people say, well, I want to create change in this and do that, and I want my life to be this way. And then I try and nothing happens. And part of it is you don't maybe truly believe you deserve it with the law of attraction. You got to truly believe. But also, we don't take into account the multi-dimensions where there's TJ who lives on the planet Zorn, and he doesn't believe that, you know, we should ascend. So he's holding out, and he's holding me back. And so we have to get all of those congruent in order to move forward. So maybe that's part of the reason why some things aren't happening the way you want. And maybe it's just to meditate and talk to it is one way to go about it. Tell it what you want. Tell the rest of you out there, listen, I know you have your journey and I respect it. This would make sense for all of us if we did this. And usually if it's always for the highest good, I don't think too many will disagree with that. Too many of your other selves. Do you follow me on that? There are many of you out there right now. I really believe that. I've talked to people that have had experiences in other places and describe those kind of things. So I'm a believer in that. I'm a believer that there could be a higher vibrational Earth that forms out of all this, and truly the highest vibration people here will go to that. And some people would say, aha, see, that's what I said. God will accept you when you fill your heart. Well, in a way, yes, but in a way, no. Because I don't believe God has ever walked away from any of us, and I don't believe God has put any kind of conditions on any of us other than to just be what we are. And we can return to that light when we choose. There's always that great freedom, and we don't have to return to it now. So it's total independence to go at whatever pace we want to go at. And that doesn't give us the right to do horrible things to others, because there's karma, cause and effect, and we know this. But it gives us the opportunity to just be and be at whatever pace we want. And that makes a lot of sense to me. Why not? Why not let your creations, us, go out there and experience at whatever pace we want? And if we don't find our way home right away, so what? We're not lost. There's a part of us that is truly connected to Source at all times, which we call the higher self. And the way I explain it and the way I see it is that when we come here, First of all, we're beings of thought. And then we become beings of light. And in order to become beings of light from thought, you have to lower vibration. Even though beings of light are filled with very high vibration, higher than what we are here, you still go from the original form of thought to light. And then from light, you go to physical body. And that is a big step. That's a big step down several levels into a physical being. And some say, and I've read this and I believe this, there are probably more than this, but I think there's absolutely at least seven levels of consciousness. And so the seventh level is the highest level we are at when we're truly connected to source and connected to ourself. And when we lower ourselves to be in a physical body, we have to go six more levels down. And there's a piece of us that resides, because we have to pass through these different levels. There's a piece of us that resides in each one of these. That's why we can connect to anything at any time. But also, it's all connected by thought. There's an invisible, if you want to call it invisible, wire that connects all our thoughts. It just is. We're all creatures of thought energy, is what I truly believe. You know, and I've had guests on my show. There was a guest on my show who I really like, but he wrote a book about the changes of 2012. And it was a fictional book. And he talked about how the bad guys, you know, the good guys were able to escape from the bad ones because they portrayed themselves and said certain things and nobody picked up on it. And I asked him a question. I said, well, don't you think that those that are in charge would know your thoughts? He goes, oh, no, no. And I disagree. All our thoughts are rejected. At some point, all our thoughts are received. So be careful what you think, because it also can come true. So I look at it as we bounced down from every different level, and we finally made it to the bottom rung here, which is the physical level, and there are many more levels above us. And we could choose to go beyond the fourth level, which I believe is where reincarnation resides. And maybe that's not even right, but let's just say it is. The fourth level. And I think Jesus is trying to tell us, hey, you know what? There's a fifth, sixth, and seventh. And maybe there's many, many more than that. Or split multi-levels within there. I don't know. But I do believe there are many. And that's what the message was. And the great masters have been trying to tell us that. That there are many levels of consciousness. Do you wish to go to the highest? Or do you wish to continue repeating what you've always done? And by repeating, that is doing the same thing we've always done with the same results. And I'm talking about, I died, I reincarnated, I came back again. Now, a lot of people tell me that we have a choice. Well, I believe we do. We don't have to come back here if we don't want to. But I think most of us don't quite grasp what's beyond this. And so we do what's comfortable, because we've forgotten. We've forgotten all these things. And this is not a bad thing. It's part of what happens when you come into a physical body. And so we wind up down here and we go, And then we get little signs. And then if we seek it more, it comes our way. And more things are shown to us. And more signs are shown to us. And all of this we can start figuring out. And it's like, why do we even go through all of this? What's the purpose of going through all this mess? And because we want to. We kind of, in a way, I say we kind of think it's fun. We think it's fun to go on an adventure. And so we do. Well, I wonder what it's like to be physical. Well, you don't want to go down there because physical body, you know, you get in that, you get trapped. You could even be a spirit. What's the big deal on that? Well, you could be thousands of years stuck on that planet. Ew. And then you could also have difficulty finding your way home. And it's like, yeah, but I always would be home because a part of me already is. Yeah, you're right there. Yeah, I guess you're right. You're right. So I could just return in a moment with a thought. Yeah, I guess you could. But I wouldn't go there. That's kind of a crazy place. Well, that sounds like a fun place to me. I'm going to go down there. I'm going to get in a physical meat suit. It'll be great. Pick my parents. Boom. I'm born. Here I am. What am I doing? I had a plan. I forgot my plan. What do I do now? Oh, well, I'm starting to remember some of it. Okay. It's becoming clear. Wait a second. I was born in the 80s. Well, I wasn't really born in the 80s, but I'm just pretending. I was born in a certain time period, and therefore I know my mission is to bring forward great enlightenment. Oh, 2012, that's the marker, and everybody's starting to wake up. And why are they starting to wake up now? Because more light is coming to a dark, protected planet, a planet that was protected, maybe parts of the universe, I don't know, were kept in the dark. So there was actually a physical shield, a mental shield around the planet. And this was allowed to go on for a long time, part of an agreement, I've been told. And I agree with that. That makes sense. And the agreement's come to an end. It's that simple. And so now light is going to return. The divine feminine is going to return. And this is what we're all picking up on. And with the divine feminine returning and more light returning, what's happening to the planet? Are we really being bombarded by global warming, or is there an actual physical change going on in the planet, which is part of her evolution? And I've heard both, but mainly what's going on in the planet, and from sources that I absolutely trust, what's going on in the planet is actually the planet's, well, we even channeled the planet, planet Earth. And what's going on mostly with the planet is caused by her evolution. Her evolution is what's making this change. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't take care of this wonderful place. And I'm not saying that we're not contributing to some bad things happening. But I've also heard, and I don't know if this is too far-fetched for a lot of people to grab onto, but I believe it. And I thought I witnessed this one time. I read in Ramtha, the teachings of Ramtha, that he talked about, I don't know if it was the gray aliens or somebody, maybe the Syrians, but they go through and they cleanse our atmosphere. They do it because if they didn't, we would have killed ourselves a long time ago. He said during the Industrial Revolution, we would have all been dead because we put so much more pollution in the air then, because there was nothing stopping us, than we do now. And it was pretty bad stuff. And there's these group that go through and they cleanse the atmosphere. And they do it, I don't know how often, but he said you would see like a green light, like just a flash. And that was them cleansing. And I swear, I absolutely swear, one night I was looking at the horizon and it was just getting dark. It was still light out, but it was starting to get dark. And I saw a green flash. I absolutely sure that I saw this just for a moment. Now, maybe it's nothing what he was saying. I don't know. So does that give us the right to destroy things? Absolutely not. But also understand that a lot of what's going on, I believe, is the planet evolving. And the planet is becoming a being of light, more towards light. And we all have the chance to become that as well. And so we can choose or not to. This is not a big pressured thing. I'm not one of those New Agers that says, oh, we've got to get together. Kumbaya. Kumbaya. No. We come together at our own time. It would be nice if all of us could put aside our egos and just come up with a common goal, like all focusing our thoughts at a certain time, like one of my friends, like Joy is doing. But if we all just kind of put aside our egos and just put love towards the planet, at the very least, love towards whatever we think needs love, the planet in general, because it's going to go all over. Can we change things? Absolutely. I totally believe we will start to see this happening as more and more light workers arrive. And not everybody that comes here is a light worker. Some people just came here for the ride. Oh, this is the thrill of the ride. Some people have been reincarnating so many times that that's what they're wrapped up. That's fine. That's all part of what is. You know, we have to totally accept and allow people to go whatever route, as long as they're not hurting others. Then we can maybe step in and at that point, and if I had to physically defend someone, I would. But also just bring love to these people that are about to commit these atrocities, because that's what they're doing. They don't have love, and they're seeking it when they do these things, or they're influenced by darker energies. So is it going to change? Is there a place that meant some people are going to go? I don't know for sure. That's possible. I've heard so many stories on that. I do know this. What I witness in my work now, everything's speeding up and it's getting more intense and people are stressed out because they don't know how to deal with it. And I was letting it get to me as well. And that's why you haven't heard a lot of shows, because I just haven't had a lot of time. But what I've been doing is just letting it go and being happy. Happy, I found my happy place again. And so I realized none of this really matters. And it is what you make of it. And the more you try to fight it, and the more angry or upset you get about, well, I'm working all the time, I don't have time to do this, well, you're going to get more of it. And it's really there to teach us. One of the big issues we have to do if we're going to move forward and create a better place, a better planet, let go. Let go of all of our expectations. Let go of all of our judgments. People want to judge the man that got elected president. I don't care. I really don't. Well, some people say he's a poor example as the way he treats women. I understand. Either way, we would have had somebody in there that was going to follow an agenda. What we can do as divine beings is project very strong, intense love to try to make a difference. And the time to do it is now, if you want to be a part of that. You don't have to. I never would tell anybody what to do. Do what you want to do, whatever floats your boat. But if you want to make a difference, then walk with love as much as possible every day. And when I say walk with love, carry love in your heart. Be happy. And even for people, and I do this all the time, I really do. Don't judge people and have love in your heart for everybody you meet. Make the world a better place. If you want to, that's all I say. Thank you. Enjoy 2017.